We are in our relationship series in the month of October. So we're talking about everything that's everything about relationships. So all the sermons that you're going to hear across our three locations will be about relationships. Isn't that great? What I'm going to be speaking about this morning is that Jesus is our door to healthy relationships. And that's the title of the message this morning. So pray with me before we dig into this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father. We invite you and come and just touch people's lives. Touch our hearts, Lord. Touch our minds, Lord, in each and every way that we need it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, meet us on our level where we are in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, come and change us and touch our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So it's good to be here with you. And relationships, isn't that, that's something that each and every one of us has to navigate in our lives. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you have those relationships that just always flows well. Sometimes it's difficult, you know. So my family, I grew up in a big family. There we are. That's mum and dad and my three older sisters. And that's me there in the brightly colored shirt there in the back. That was high fashion back then, believe it or not. And, I had to navigate three older sisters in my house. And that was quite a challenge for me, you know. And they were always annoyed with a younger brother and like, oh, you know, chasing me around. And I was teasing everybody. You see my youngest sister there in the yellow shirt, she teased me until I cried. Like, she had this real thing. Like, that was one of the most difficult relationships I had growing up was actually with her, because she used to tease me so much that I'd get so frustrated and so powerless that I'll just start bursting out in tears, and she'll push me up until that point. And it was very difficult. And because of that, we had a very broken relationship growing up. It's actually after that we were just adults, we reconnected and we found out, wow, you're actually not that bad. You're amazing. And we reconnected. So isn't that great? So, but today I have to navigate relationships with my wife, my beautiful wife, and my two boys, of course, which can be challenging as well. Everybody here in the room, parents and family, you know it's challenging raising kids, right? It's their personalities challenge us, and because they're a lot like us, right? We see ourselves and we see our own stubbornness. We see it in them. We see the good qualities as well, not only the bad qualities. So I do see in Vincent a lot of myself. I see that perseverance, right? But in Liam, I also see the laziness that I identify with myself. Man, I have to get myself out of a rut sometimes. And I just see Liam just falling into that rut of laziness, you know. We'll go out. I say, hey, let's go out for a walk, the whole family. And Liam will say, count me out. Leave me on the couch. I'm not willing. And we have to navigate that attitude and say, no, buddy, we have to, you know, do something. We have to remain active. That's family and that's relationships. So God was dealing with me on sometimes things are broken. Sometimes things are not the best, and we're looking for a way back. We're looking to say, Lord, how do we repair broken relationships? How do I get this relationship with a family member, a brother, or a sister back? How do I get back? How do I get the door open for me to get back to a place where we can reconnect? And this is really where God has started speaking into my heart and saying, well, let's talk about what we can do. So sometimes there's things that we as people do to just improve things by ourselves without looking to the Word of God. You know, sometimes we just say, oh, if I can only better communicate, perhaps if I can have maybe more respect, or if I can support my better half more, hey, and do more of the chores at home, you know, if I can bring more support, if I can be willing to help more, maybe that can help. Maybe more compassion or more encouragement. And there's things that we think that we maybe can do to make things better. But I'd like to go to the Word of God and say, what does God give us? What tools does God place in our baskets that we can use to improve things? And I actually stumbled upon the biggest obstacle that prevents us from getting to true forgiveness and healing. And that is pride. So we want to repair things, we want to get things right, we want to get back at getting relationships back where we want it, but our pride is just in the way of that, and it will not allow us to get back Sometimes we want to, and it's the other person's pride that is stopping relationships from being, that door being opened for a reestablishment. But let's look to ourselves in James 4, 6. He gives us more and more grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and the haughty, but he continually gives grace to the humble. In Jeremiah 9, 23, it says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom. Let not the strong boast in their strength, or the rich boast in their riches. But let the one who boasts, boast in this. This is a challenge. That they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So, in opposition to pride, God is posing you a challenge. He says, do not boast in anything, but boast that you know me. And that is how we break down pride. We get to know God. So God says, if it's something that you want to boast in, boast that you know me. That'd be quite a boast if you can say, I know the Lord. I walk with him every day. I know his heartbeat. Boast in that, says the Lord. Boast that you know me. Isn't that precious? I want to be able to say, yes, I walk with the Lord. I want other people to say, yes, we recognize Will walks with God. He knows God. He knows the heartbeat of God. He sees the vision. He follows the vision. That's what God says. Boast in that. Let's break away from the pride. And if we get into relationship with God, that deep relationship, the relationship that penetrates into our heart, God brings righteousness and justice. As it reads in Jeremiah, he says, God who exercises justice and righteousness. Those things come when we enter into relationship with God, that deep relationship with God. You see, we are called to live a life led by the Spirit, a life of love. Galatians, in Galatians 5, 13 and 14, we read, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use this freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Pride stands against this in every way. If you have pride, it would not let you love your neighbor as you love yourself. It would not let you serve other people in humility. Let's go and see what is love. And I know you've probably most, everybody in the house is very familiar with God's definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. But I want to have a look at it anyway, because it will bring that everything into the forefront of the mind. And then we can see, what is God's definition of love? If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but I have not love, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, if I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Interesting. Dole out all that I have to the poor. I read about this billionaires couple that decided they're going to give away $1 million every week to charity. Even if I give it all away, but I have not love, it means nothing. Love endures long and is patient. It is kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful, yes, or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited or arrogant. As we go through this definition of love, I want you to start thinking about the relationships. that you feel that you need to go back to, maybe that you want to repair or reestablish, maybe the relationships that you want to improve on. Family members, think about as we go through God's definition of love, what is standing in your way? What is pride preventing you from getting to? Love is not conceited or arrogant. Love is not rude or unmannered. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not insist on its own way, because love is not self-seeking. That's one of the biggest things. It's my way or the highway. But love does not insist on its own way. If you say it's my way or the highway, that's not God's definition of love. If you're insisting on things being your way for it to be right, you are not conforming to this definition. God says love does not insist on its own way. It's not self-seeking. Love is not touchy or fretful or even resentful. Love takes no account of evil done. How many of you know that, you know, in relationships, sometimes we can remember all the wrongs. And when the going gets tough, we go take them out back again out of that little box. I don't know where we keep them. Take them out. Long list. Let me just read to you. Let me just declare the past to you. Lest you forget, let me remind you. But love takes no account of these things. Yet we're quick to take them out. Perhaps that's where some of us should start and say, I'm going to stop taking account of these things. And even though I might remember them, I'm going to stop mentioning them when we get into a disagreement. Love does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness. Love rejoices when justice prevails. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. That's a difficult one for me. For those of you who were here last week, Sunday, the end of Nicole's message, I testified about being under a harsh supervisor at work. For the last 3 years, being under this harsh manager, really grinding me down, making sure that, you know, I know who's the boss, I had to endure. And even in that circumstances, I had to make sure that I do not act unbecomingly, but I remain faithful. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Maybe we've stopped believing the best in people. We say, no, this person is not able to do good things. They're not. It's not within in their grasp anymore. We've stopped believing the good in people. Love's hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures without weakening. That's very difficult. I had to go back to Jesus every time. Say, Lord, help me endure. Help me love through it all. Love never fails. And that's God's definition of love. So I want to read to us in John 12, as we go back to Jesus' feet with everything that rests on our heart. We're being, maybe the Holy Spirit is talking to you about a few things in your heart, and we have to take that back to Jesus. So I'm reading to us from John 12. So 6 days before the Passover feast, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had died and whom he had risen from the dead. So they made him a supper. I'd say that's a good reason for a supper. Hey, someone rose back from the dead. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who was at the table with him. Mary took a pound of ointment of pure liquid nard, a rare perfume, that was very expensive, and she poured it out on Jesus' feet, and she wiped it with her hair, and the whole house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. That's a starting point. So, Will, where do I start? I know what's God's definition of love look like. I know I want to improve or restore some relationships. Maybe there's relationship that I've been looking to get back, but the door was just closed shut all these years. Well, where do I start? This is where we start. We take it to Jesus and we pour it out, all that emotion, everything that's inside. Perhaps it's your pride. Perhaps it's your hurt. We take that to the feet of Jesus. And we worship God. We pour it out at his feet. We says, Lord, there's some stuff that I need to deal with. There's stuff that that's hurt, that's deep in my heart. And you pour it out at the feet of Jesus. You talk to him about it. She took everything dear and expensive to her, and she poured it out at the Master's feet in service. Sometimes we don't want to move that pride out of our hearts because we say, they were wrong. I can't go back. I was justified. Without relationship with God, it is seemingly impossible to maintain healthy relationships and serve God. Because things are going to happen. People are going to test you. Relationships are going to go through rocky roads. It's not always going to be a nice, smooth, stable walk. It's not always going to be comfortable. Like they say, moonshine and roses. Sometimes there's going to be challenges, tremendous challenges that's going to be presented. But how you treat these challenges will be the defining moment of whether you can move forward or not. So I took the challenge that I had at work and I poured it out at God's feet. Every day for the last 3 years, I was on my knees saying, God, touch me. Touch him. Change the situation. Lord, take me out. Give me another job. I was praying. I was pouring it out at God's feet. I was not venting my frustration and anger at the source of it. Because then you're picking a fight. And just like we heard from Pastor Nicole last week, don't fight battles you were never intended to. I knew that was not a battle for me to fight, that was the Lord that will fight that battle. But I knew I had to go to a place of prayer and a place of consecration. And perhaps that's where we should go when we have these relationships where we know their restoration is needed. We don't know how to get back to it. That's where you start, at the feet of Jesus. Pouring it all out, pouring out what matters to you, pouring out what you hold on to. What is it that you hold on from those relationships? What is it, the memories that comes back up that you hold on to, the emotions that you hold on to? What is the stuff that still gets you angry that you ponder on so you can stay angry? How many of us has done that? We stay angry. We think about the stuff that made us angry and we ponder on it so we can stay angry for longer. Hey, isn't that true? We do that? Let's pour it out at Jesus' feet. Let's surrender it to God this morning because that is the only way to move forward. You see, it doesn't start with the opposite person, the person that you want to get back to or that has a problem. It doesn't start there. It starts in your own heart and your own approach to things. So I want to put another tool in your basket that can perhaps open up the door for getting back to those relationships. Let's go read John chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Now before the Passover feast began, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to return to the Father. And as he had loved those who were his own in the world, he loved them to the last and to the highest degree. Now that we've just read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, does that sentence change for you now? Jesus loved them to the highest and the last. He loved them to the last and to the highest degree. His definition of love. So it was during supper that Satan had already put the thought of betraying Jesus in the heart of Judas Iscariot. Jesus, knowing, he's fully aware that the Father had put everything into his hands and that he had come from God and was returning to God, got up from supper, took off his garments, taking a servant's towel, he fastened it around his waist. He poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the servant's towel with which he was girded. Jesus shows us, he shows us how to reconnect, put on a servant's towel, take off your garments, take off all those things that gives you pride, take them all off, put on a servant's towel and go down on your knees and wash their feet. Jesus was on his knees with a servant towel, taking the position of humility. Isn't that precious? The only one who is worthy of praise, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, coming into a position of humility. What is it that holds you back from being humble? What is it that holds you back from restoring the broken relationships? If our Master Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of all Lords, was able to take off his outer garments and put on that servant's towel and go on his knees and wash his disciples' feet, how much the more can we not go into that position of service? As it says in Galatians, serve one another humbly. It's all about humility. Right and wrong is not part of that process. Jesus washed the feet of his betrayer that evening. He came to Judas, probably looking up in his eyes, knowing it is already in his heart. The Bible says Satan already put the thought to betray Jesus in his heart. He was thinking of the money and he was thinking of the reward he was going to get to give to hand Jesus over. Jesus still washed his feet. Let's get back to the thought of, I'm justified to be angry, Will. Jesus still washed Judas's feet, knowing that he was going to betray him. He put on the servant's towel. Right and wrong is not part of this process. You see, the way back to healing, when you start to discuss right and wrong, when you start to justify, you hamper the process of healing. Keep right and wrong out of it. Right and wrong was not there. The actions, Jesus was not justifying anything. He was washing them and serving them. We are soon to justify ourselves. But that's not part on the road back to healing. Let's not talk about justify. I was justified in saying that. I was justified in being angry. And let me tell you why. Let me show you my viewpoint. It's not the way back to healing. Put on a servant's towel. You see, because forgiveness and love is the only way back to healing. Love covers a multitude of sins. We do not need to run back past them again. Take the position of humility. How? How do we do this? Well, how do I apply this physically? Jesus poured water into a basin and he washed their feet. He positioned himself. You position yourself into that relationship with God. Then coming with a servant heart, laying down your pride, laying down right and wrong, laying down injustice of it all, you take up love and you wash their feet in service. Wash their feet physically, maybe, if it's your partner or your son. Maybe it should be a symbolic action of just being humble and coming with a humble heart. I cannot wash my supervisor's feet at work, but I'm humble. I faithfully serve. And it's in this service, I don't know, for the benefit of those who has not heard this testimony last week, that God has taken me out underneath that, finally after 3 years. Because I faithfully served him, he looked so good, they moved him into a higher management position. And they moved me into his position, which meant freedom for me. How unfair was it that I was so mistreated the past 3 years and he's getting promoted? What is that to me and you? Just as Jesus, as they heard when Jesus was talking to, who was it that he talked to? I think it was Peter. And they said, Jesus said that disciple is going to live forever. Do you remember that in his last visitations? I don't recall the scripture, but it's coming to mind now. Jesus replied to the disciple that said, is he going to live forever? He said, what is that to you if he does? That's the scripture that pops to mind. You see, I had to stick with God's definition of love and had to leave God to resolve the situation His way. By forgiving and entering that position of humility, the change will fall from your heart. You see, because love is not self-seeking, it does not insist on its own way. We should put ourselves in a serving position like Jesus did. Sorry, I skipped steps. I went straight to the last one. How? I did say when up on the board because I was thinking that there might be some men in the house saying, oh, I'm going to wash my wife's feet tonight. And I thought to myself, oh, Lord, men are bad with timing. I know. So I thought, let me just say, when? During a good time. Jesus done it during supper. You know, everybody was laughing, having a good time. It wasn't during an argument that he was, sit down, woman, I'm going to wash your feet. We're going to make this right. No, guys. He was doing it during a good time. And then the heart that you do it with what attitude and heart, that's important. It can't be that grumpy voice. I'm going to forgive you now. I'm going to wash your feet until you forgive me. No, Jesus was on his knees with a servant towel, right? He was taking the position of humility. Right and wrong was not part of that process, only forgiveness and love. So I just thought I'd put that up there for some of the guys that decides to wash their wife's feet the next time there's an argument. You want to repair? I'm going to repair this relationship, you know? God actually spoke to me and Nicole, and this was a tough thing for us to do. During God's space, we had all 15 people come to God's space, 12 to 15 people. And God instructed us, says, I want you to wash their feet very first night. And we were like, what? No, Lord, we don't want to. Yes. Okay, Nicole's correcting me. I'll wash her feet later for this, baby. But okay, Nicole said, like, we need to wash your feet. I was dead set against it. I said, no, I ain't going to do that. And then the Holy Spirit was pride. Like, okay, sorry, Lord. We got there that first evening. We got the basins out. We told them we were going to wash their feet. They had big eyes in the house like this. They were like, oh, my Lord. Said, come on, people. If you're not comfortable with it, that's fine. We'll find a way around it. We'll wash your hands. That's fine. But the guys got off their shoes. I got my wash basin on. I girded the towel. I got down on my knees in front of Carl, was there that evening. Hey, Carl. And I got on my knees and I started washing my feet. I came in front of him in a position of humility. I'm here to teach the class. But you know what, Carl? I'm here to serve you. Wow, the power that held. I could not fathom. After that, the position that it put us in. Everybody in the room was like, yeah, I'll give you a chance. I'll listen to what you have to say after that, after you've washed my feet. We were leveling the playing field, saying, we are not more important than you. We don't know more than you. What we are getting from the Father is what we are supplying to you. I am in a position of humility, teaching you. What did that make you feel like, Carl?
Well, even the same level.
So there's power in that action of making yourself, bringing yourself to a position of humility and approaching the situation like that. It's a tool that Jesus has put in our baskets in the relationship series. And it's just one of the many that I want to share with you this morning. Humility is the way back. And keep the definition of love in mind, lest we forget what God's definition of love is. So let's serve each other just like Jesus did. Father God, I pray, Father, that you bring this message to heart and to mind when it's needed. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we start to maybe act out, maybe we start to get emotional about a situation, maybe we're in an argument, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll just come and gently remind us of this word, of this message, Lord, of how to handle it, Lord, of love, what love is, Lord, that we'll be children of love, Lord, that we'll be dressed in love. I pray that as a church, we'll be so dressed in love, Lord, that we'll be seen as a peculiar people, Lord. We know that that is how we will be recognized by the unsaved and the people outside, Lord, people in the world. They'll see the love that we have for one another. Father, I pray that that love will rest on us heavily, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. I pray. Amen and amen.